I'm going to say something right now, and I don't really care how outrageous it sounds, because it's going to sound outrageous. But you know what? I'm past that. I don't care. You know, you may think I think I'm just, all full of myself and proud and haughty and arrogant and whatever. You know, I'm past that old I thing, and I'm into what God's doing, and I can't help it if God's using me to produce this show. I can't help it if God called A. Enoch to write this book. I can't help it if God called A. Enoch to translate the scriptures and come up with a concordant literal New Testament and the Old Testament that's literal and that corrects many, 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 many of the mistakes, the over 20,000 translation errors of the King James Version, and brings out truth because of that. For instance, the beasts of Daniel chapter 7, that they're religious, not political. That comes out from a good translation, that we're not looking for a revival of the Roman Empire, as most of the commentators and expositors in Christianity are looking for, the Roman Empire. Or they think that, you know, they're looking for a revival of it. They think that it was one of the past empires. They think that it's the fourth part of the image of Daniel's image in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's image. It's not. They think it's historical. No, it's yet future. All these things corrected by good translating. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you, and I'm just going to tell you. I just thought of this yesterday. There are going to be very few Jews who are going to be wise in the time of Jacob's trouble. But they are going to desperately search the scriptures. They're going to desperately want to find out what's going on. Any light that ever came to the people came by way of prophets, yes, but also by way of studying the word. Daniel, as we're going to see today, in Babylon is reading Jeremiah. He's getting wisdom from Jeremiah. And the Jews of the near future who find themselves intelligent are getting that way, not only because they're supplicating God, but they're also reading the scriptures. Anna and Simeon knew when Christ was going to be dedicated at the temple after 8 days. They knew the prophecy of Daniel. The three wise men, they studied the stars, but they also knew that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Why? They inquired of Herod, who knew the scripture, but couldn't read it right because they weren't looking for it. They had already figured out in their heads what was going to happen, that they couldn't see the literal word. Just like I told you, the disciples, they had so much in their head that Messiah was coming to deliver them politically that they couldn't read Daniel chapter 9. They couldn't read after 69 sevens, Messiah will be cut off. They cannot read that. Herod and the wise men in Jerusalem at the time of our Lord's birth couldn't read Messiah comes out of Bethlehem. Can't read it because they think one thing. So in the end days, Israel's going to seek, and they're going to find this concordant version. They're going to find it. And I think they're going to find this audio series. I pray that God lets this thing stay on YouTube. I don't know if there's going to be internet. I don't know what the earth's going to be, a mess. But I pray, let's just put it this way. I pray that God will use this audio series, not only for you today, but for Israel of that day. And my heart yearns for Israel to come into her promises. It always has. I've always had that same affliction Paul had, pain for a people so persecuted, so ignorant. And I am tempted sometimes to despise that ignorance. Well, how stupid can you be? You miss your own Messiah. Then I realize they're locked up in stubbornness. But there are going to be some who are made aware, and they're going to begin to seek, and they're going to realize that the times are being fulfilled. They're going to go back to Daniel's prophecy. They're going to go to their prophets in the Greek scriptures. They're going to go to John. They're going to go to Peter. They're going to go to James. They're going to go to Hebrews, especially. Hebrews is going to be huge for Israel in her time of trouble. Maybe they'll do a search for Hebrews on the internet and they'll find my series on Hebrews. Because, I've said this before, I don't know of too many concordant teachings going out. That is, teachings based on the right translation. Teachings based on analyzing the words of God and making sure they're correct. I don't know too many of those teachings based on that going out today. It's all coming out of the cookie-cutter institution of end-time prophecy. That's, again, looking for the revival of the Roman Empire, looking for a evil Antichrist instead of coming out of the Christian religion. In fact, Christians comprise the prophecy branch of what's going out today, and they're the ones who are going to be enmeshed in the deception. So what kind of truth are you going to get from them? Those who are enlightened today are outside of that. They're outside of the specter of the people of the apostasy looking for the apostasy. We're outside of that. I'm one of the people outside of that by the grace of God. And now by the grace of God, I'm elaborating upon a book with a plain cover. The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. It was published in 1930. It's not sold in Christian bookstores. You just can't get it today unless you know this avenue. But isn't that the way God always did it? You don't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem unless you search diligently. You don't know Paul's in Rome unless you search diligently for him. You don't know that God's the Savior of all humanity unless your heart yearns for truth and you seek diligently for it. You're not going to find this book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, which takes pains to understand what God said, which refuses to elaborate on what he didn't say, which refuses to weave yarns and make suppositions of the imagination instead of a laborious inquiry into the truth. How many people do that today? How many people dissect it to understand it? Not to be smart, not to lord it over other people, but to understand God. Israel is going to be enlightened as to where the sources of this information are. And I pray to God they find it in this show. They're going to say, God, this guy was obsessed with Batman. Well, they're going to fast forward through all that crap. They're going to fast forward through my cute little intros. And they're going to get to the meat. And they're going to get to a dissection. If they can't find this book, they're going to find this series. I pray to God because I want them to know. I want them to be enlightened. But there are going to be so few. We're going to see this as this series progresses. There are going to be so few in Israel, as in any era. As in any era, there are very, very few people who know what's happening. The majority are in apostasy. The majority will go for the false Messiah. And even the elect would go for the false Messiah unless they were supernaturally protected from it. The only way you're going to get any of this stuff is by revelation of the Spirit of God. You can't figure it out in a book. Don't misunderstand me. Don't think that I'm saying that you can study your way into this. But what I am saying is that the Spirit of God will cause you to look into His Word, and that will cause you to go on the internet, find the right places. I've been told by many people, Martin, I did a search for eternal torment, or I did a search for salvation of all. I did a search for, you know, prophecies of Daniel. I found your website. I compared it with other websites, and something in the Spirit of God testified to me that what you were saying was true. Because, Martin, you didn't herald yourself. You herald Scripture. And it was different than anything else I was hearing. Yes, 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 it's different. It's different. And if the Spirit of God causes you to realize that, I thank Him for that. So Daniel's in Babylon, and he gets this word that it's 70 years, and he confirms it. He confirms it by studying Jeremiah. Because it seemed to Daniel, once again, that God's plans for Israel were coming to a successful, happy conclusion. Their hope was always deferred, but now there was the end of the exile. And Daniel had a lifetime within the realm of an enemy, within the realm of the nations. The nations, this was the time of the nations, when the nations usurped Israel's rightful place as head and not the tail. So naturally, the thoughts of Daniel would center around this hope for the kingdom. And especially the 70 years. He's reading 70 years in Jeremiah, and he's excited by that. We're going to look at that. Let's do it now before the show closes in Jeremiah 29. This is so cool because right now I am reading something that Daniel read. I think that's cool. It's like we're connected with these peoples in some way. Even though we're not Israelites, we're of a different administration, different expectation, different hope, different belief, different baptism. Yet, we are in some vital way connected. Because as Paul says in Romans 11, we feed off the fatness of Israel, right? The nations fed off the fat of Israel. Israel was entrusted with the oracles of God. And because of them, because of the few that God inspired, we now have the scripture. Jeremiah 29 Verse 9, for with falsehood are they prophesying to you in my name. There were many false prophets in that day, of whom were Ahab and Zedekiah, prophesying falsely concerning the coming exile. They said, oh no, this is not of God. God wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you. These people were the Joel Osteens of the prophecy days. Ahab, every day's a Friday. Every day's a Friday. Yeah, God wants you to be prosperous. No, you would never send an enemy to discipline you. No, forget that. You know, don't go to Babylon. This is not of God. And things did not go well for them. They were false prophets. Jeremiah is writing about them. For with falsehood are they prophesying to you in my name. I have not sent them, averring is Yahweh. God is not sent, relatively speaking. Joel Osteen, not sent by God. The guy doesn't look into Scripture, man. No, he looks into his own psyche. Forget it. I'm not gonna waste time on that. Verse 10. For thus says Yahweh, when at my bidding fulfilled for Babylon are 70 years, I will visit you and carry out for you my good word to restore you in this place, that is Jerusalem. For I know the designs which I will design for you, a bearing is Yahweh. Designs for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hereafter and an expectation. That is an accurate translation from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:10. Daniel read this, 70 years I will visit you, and it gave him a hope that Israel's fulfillment of all the promises God made were about to take place. But his hopes were dashed with the ensuing prophecy given him by the messenger Gabriel.